Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show! Oh, what an absolute delight to be coming at you during your work week. I'm Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti. Marco Belletti on the update. We'll get another one from him. Pat Boyle coming up next. He is a fine young man with a very good and entertaining, informative show on the Infinity Sports Network, as is our friend Zach Gelb, who was at the draft tonight, and he asked Ace Bailey out of Rutgers this question.
Ace, there was a lot of speculation that built up in your draft process. You know, you seem pretty happy to me to be going to Utah. Well, what do you say to people that maybe just don't believe that?
I mean, I control what I control, so how they feel. But to my team and me, me focusing on the basketball and them doing what they're doing, so it happens.
So Ace Bailey, there was some concern about him if he wanted to go to anywhere. The Sixers, they had the sort of thing where he didn't work out with them, and people are wondering, like, what do you want here? Ace Bailey does go number five to the Jazz. He and Dylan Harper, both out of Rutgers, two teammates drafted in the top five. Cooper Flagg and Con Knipple, two teammates drafted in the first five. It's rare that that happens, but when it does, typically the team like went for a deep run in the tournament, and a lot of times they won the tournament. Rutgers went 15-17. We'll have more on that in tonight's WTF, Winkler's Thrilling Factoid, in a little bit here. So Cooper Flagg, one to the Mavs, Dylan Harper, two to the Spurs, VJ Edgecombe. He goes to the Sixers at three, Con Knipple, Hornets, Ace Bailey, Jazz, Trey Johnson, Wizards, Jeremiah Fears, Pelicans, Igor Demon to the Nets, Colin Murray Boyles to the Raptors, and it looked like he said F, which he did. He didn't seem thrilled that he was going there, but apparently the Raptors are having fun with it on social media, so everything looks like it's just fine with him. And then at number 10, Kaman Mallock was traded to the Suns. This is going to be part of the Kevin Durant deal. The Rockets officially made the pick, so he gets a Rockets hat. We can easily solve this. I'm self-conscious about bringing that up because I bring it up all the time, and so does everybody else, but it's so easily solvable. But yet the NBA just doesn't want to solve it. There, I'm pretty sure some of these guys that got drafted tonight, like, you could wake up and they got traded. It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. So with the draft, we're digesting it here. We're wondering what the class is going to look like in a few years. Well, how about last year's class? How did things go for last year's class? Top 10 guys we'll look at. Or we could go maybe, we'll go top 10. Zachary Richaché was drafted number one out of France for Atlanta. He was fine, you know. What are some stats on him last year? He was fine. He played 25 minutes a game, scored 12 points a game. Okay. Alex Sarr was drafted by the Wizards. He was number two. He started every game and averaged 13 points a game. Started every game that he played in, 67. Reed Sheppard had a pretty nice year for Houston. He was drafted three. Stephon Castle was the rookie of the year, drafted number four for the Spurs. Ron Holland. Saloon was drafted six to the Hornets. Donovan Klingon got some run. Rob Dillingham got some run in Minnesota. Zach Edey played a lot better than we thought he would. He went number nine. And Cody Williams with the Jazz went number 10 last year. He didn't do a lot. So that was last year's top 10. So it's interesting looking at this top 10, wondering what it's going to be. And then looking back at some of these top 10s, because some of these top 10s, they're not great. All right, what about 2 years ago, 2023? Victor Wembanyama went number one. He's great. Brandon Miller went number two. He's part of that Hornets team that can't figure anything out. Scoot Henderson went number three to the Blazers. Amen Thompson to the Rockets, four. Asar Thompson to the Pistons, five. I would say those are fine. Anthony Black's part of the rotation in the with the Magic. He went six. I can't say this guy's name. Hold on. Bilal Coulibaly. He went to Washington at seven. Jairus Walker was playing for the Pacers a little bit in the postseason before he got hurt. Taylor Hendricks, Jazz, nine, 2 years ago. The hell has he done? Very little. He's been in the G League. And then Cason Wallace started some games in the NBA Finals. And then just go back one more year to 2022. Paolo Banchero, number one. Chet Holmgren, number two. Jabari Smith, number three. Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey, Benedict Mathurin, Shaedon Sharpe, Dyson Daniels, Jeremy Sochan. This is a really good draft. Wow. That's a good draft. And then number 10, Johnny Davis. Oof.
Who?
Johnny Davis, the former lacrosse central player. Johnny Davis was born in La Crosse, Wisconsin, 5 months before I went to school there for college. How about
what
that?
The hell did you just say to me?
Yeah, well, I was driving around town, you know, being a drunk ass. Not driving. He was being a little baby. An actual little baby boy. Wow, what a really good draft until you get to Johnny Davis. Ugh. So it's anyone's guess how things will go here tonight. Brandon's in Florida. Brandon, hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going, man? First time caller, Bart. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for calling.
So I'm 51. From Utah originally, but I've been in Florida for a lot of my life as well. So it's kind of fun watching Utah Jazz, what's going on right now. They got a lot of young players going on. Taylor Hendricks, he was hurt last year and a half. So that's why I've seen so much from him. He was actually doing pretty well last year before he got hurt. But I'm looking forward to seeing Ace Bailey. I mean, they're comparing him to like a young KD. Giannis is talking really high on him. And I'm really surprised about us getting Clayton. That shocked me. I think that shocked a lot of Jazz fans. We weren't expecting that. So I'm really
excited.
Yeah,
a lot of people, the draft's interesting because there's some of these guys that they're going to get drafted lower even though they perform so well in college, and you know that they're going to have an impact. There's going to be a lot of guys in round two that are going to play some big minutes next year, but for whatever reason, they get drafted a little bit later.
But seeing Oklahoma being so young, it kind of gives me some hope with Utah because we have a really young nucleus. And, you know, with maybe John Collins and marketing, you know, staying and sticking around and kind of building around them, I think we could have a pretty decent team next year. Because I don't think they're going to try to tank again. I think they're actually going to actually try to play this time. So,
yeah, I'd be feeling pretty good about the Jazz tonight.
Yeah, pretty much so. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Brandon in Florida, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We just had night one of the NBA draft tonight. That's it, night one, one night. One round. Round two will be tomorrow night. The split of the nights started last year. And I'm pretty sure the second round was it was in the afternoon, right? It was in the afternoon.
Yeah, because I think when I came in already, Bronny had already got drafted.
Yeah, I feel like I remember watching that in my living room. Watching Bronny get drafted at like 4:30 or something. I don't know why. They must have been airing another event or something.
I don't know. Was the Elk Lodge already booked? Like, you could have round two in someone's basement, and I don't think anybody would bat an eye.
But it is in the nighttime on Thursday, right?
Yeah, you're asking me. Yeah. I mean, yes, of course, Bart. It is. Yes.
well, at first, yeah. I saw this. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. 7 o'clock Eastern. I saw a tweet here. Why is the NBA draft two nights? No wonder the first round felt too long for no reason. I don't know why it's two nights. maybe it's felt more rushed. It does give teams a little bit of time to like make their decision. It's probably fine that it's two nights. There's a lot to gripe about with the NBA. This whole playoffs had everything you could ever want, and somehow it left a lot of people unsatisfied. This two-night thing is fine.
Yeah, fine. Because chances are, if you weren't watching the NBA draft before, you weren't watching it anyway, so the second night's inconsequential to you. The people who are locked in, it's for them.
And I think it's better for the teams, because they were trying to cram 60 picks into a four-hour TV window. So then these teams have no time, and you can't let anything breathe. And then it's really hard to catch up on trades. I would actually say that the two-night format, it looks lame because it looks like they're trying to copy the NFL, which is maybe where they got the idea. Because the NFL, round one's great. Round two and three you get into. I actually don't think a lot of people watch the Saturday coverage at all. They just kind of be like, oh, I'll check my phone. Who we draft here? Oh, a guard out of North Dakota. Pretty interesting there. But there's not a lot of people that are watching the draft on Saturday. It's more become the spectacle. But I did like it when it was that. I did like the Saturday. Maybe I wouldn't like it as much now. See, what I'm remembering is fond memories of getting a keg at a house in Madison and, you know, having all your friends from high school meet up in college, and then the Packers drafting Aaron Rodgers. That's what I remember. This probably works out better for everybody. This allows me that I can cover the draft professionally in the expo center next to the actual draft, and have guys like Travis Hunter do interviews directly behind me, and I can like say, hey, what's up, good job, way to be drafted. But that was fun. I probably should have dressed up a little bit more that night.
Yeah, you think?
I should have dressed up nicer to this wedding I went to, too. I went to a wedding. I wore nice pants and shoes, but I just wore a polo.
Oh, yeah, that's a Wisconsin Sunday's best.
Yeah, and I've never done that before, but it was 90 degrees. And I also, it was outside. I didn't wear my hat. I can't wear a hat at a wedding, but I was just like dripping. I had to go into the bathroom, take a paper towel, wipe my hair, and then it looked terrible. So then I had to dry it, actually. Oh, I was just soaked. Just absolutely soaked.
It's still not hotter than a wedding I had to go to when I was in the Dominican Republic. Because, you know, people who do destination weddings, they're looking for reasons to not have you down there. But I was in the wedding party, so I was forced. And it's an August wedding, the day, coincidentally, before my anniversary. Because my friends got married on the 3rd of August. I got married on the 4th. Neither here nor there. So we're on the beach of DR, and it's like 101 degrees. Are we wearing summer attire? No. We're all there like full-blown jackaloons in suits, ties, and the whole get-up. So while I would totally trade your experience with mine, because I was sweating like I was in Egypt. I was going to say something else, but this isn't satellite radio.
Were you going to say hell?
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't want to offend our friends down in the Mason-Dixon line. The Bible Belt is very big or bigger on for our ratings.
Or offend our friends in hell.
Yeah, like Mephisto, who has yet to make his debut in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The day I got married, it was -4 degrees outside.
Yeah, and you also got married to Lambo, right?
New Year's Eve.
You're such a loser.
Why?
Come on.
Everybody liked it.
Yeah, because it's Wisconsin.
They had nothing else to do. What else? What, are we going to go sit in the middle of Times Square and watch a ball drop?
Now that, I will tell you right now, if you're ever coming to New York for New Year's Eve, take it from someone who lives in New York. Don't waste your time. That is the biggest time suck you can ever do. It's cold. It's packed. It's grungy out there. And it's no fun. What that Dick Clark crapped on TV that they're showing you, you're not getting any of that. You're not getting there unless you're getting there at 6 in the morning. It's totally not worth it. I did it once, and it was probably one of the worst New Year's Eve I've ever had. And I've worked on a couple of New Year's Eve, including this network on this time slot. That New Year's Eve was better than this one, than standing out for the ball. Don't do Times Square. It's overrated. You'll thank me later for not doing it.
I've always wanted to do it, but that was when I was like 18, 19, 20.
Yeah, I did it when I was, I think I was like 22. I went with a bunch of friends and, you know, whatever, you're young. The one touristy thing, I'm like, all right, let's cross it off the list. Never did it. It was terrible. It was just not entertaining. You're just standing there with a bunch of random strangers. The most entertaining thing, like 10 minutes before the ball drop, a couple of dudes started fighting right in front of me. So we got to move up a little bit because, you know, they got kicked out. That was it. You didn't even see the damn ball. You see the ball and you're like, that's it. What the hell are we doing? All right. I guess we'll go home.
What time did you get there? How long were you out there?
I think I was out there for 6 hours.
And you just probably stood there.
Literally just stood there.
It's like going to a concert where the band never plays.
That's precisely, dude, that is a perfect analogy. Because we showed up and we're behind a barricade and we're all just vibing, talking with each other, you know, not even socializing with the people around you because who the hell knows these people are? These are all tourists and weirdos because only weirdos go to that. And then we wait 6 hours later to ball drop. All right, Happy New Year. Now let's walk over to the subway and go back to Queens because this was lame as hell.
Do they have, like, they don't even have, like, food or drink vendors or nothing?
Bro, what vendors?
How are there not people selling stuff? I'm sure they were.
We must have been that far out because, again, we showed up at, like, 6, maybe 7 o'clock. Like, I know we weren't there all day. It was like an afternoon thing. We were just like, all right, let's go over there. You have to be there, like, crack of dawn, I'm sure, to get into the parties and all that stuff. And when I say parties, I mean just literally closer to where the stages are. But you're not going to see anybody. You're not going to be, oh, there's Jennifer Lopez. Let me give her a high five. Oh, what's up, Ryan Seacrest? Can you sign my shirt? That's not going to happen to you. Don't do it. Waste of time.
So it's our anniversary.
Well, don't do that.
Well, no, we've done stuff. But now, since we've had a child, I never thought I would be a guy that doesn't stay up into the new year. But now, because we're an hour behind in the central time zone, now I'm an 11 o'clock guy. I'll see the ball drop and then I'll go to bed. Although, wasn't there the one year there was a college football game Georgia played and it went,
yeah,
in, like, it ended right at New Year's Eve?
Yeah, that was recent. Like, what, had to be like 3 years ago, Nora?
Were you working that night?
There was two times that I was working here on New Year's. One of them, I got out with enough time to go to the party and do whatever I want to do. And then the other time, I was actually working with JR when he was occupying this spot. Hmm. And I bailed right at 12. So I got the countdown in my car. Other than that, I've been good.
Well, I won't be here this New Year's Eve.
Oh, you sure as hell will not be here. I'll be here New Year's Day going into 2nd of January, no problem. That's time and a half, baby. Got to get that dough.
Yeah, in this time slot, I have worked two of the two New Year's days.
Yeah, you will not catch me here New Year's Eve. Sorry to whatever part-timers listening to this. You're going to have to suck it up.
I think that's very noble of me. I take Fridays off in the summer randomly for no reason, but...
But that's also a pro move. That's what you got to do. Listener Appreciation Week, not that far from now.
I don't know. I don't really have a lot going on in July. July might be a 5-day week, pretty heavy situation.
What are you going to do without me when I'm gone for like 10 days?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Yeah, programming note to anybody who might care. July 20th to 29th, I am not here. I'm turning 40. I'm going across the pond.
People say, oh, Bart, I like your banter with Carlos. Yeah, well, one of these kids better step up.
I don't know who you're going to have, but God bless you. Because I will be on a timer difference. It's not like Chicago. I am not calling in.
It's going to be 2 weeks of a lot of experimental programming is how I'm going to look at it.
Yeah, it's going to be 2 weeks of experimental drinking for me.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710. Maybe Shep will do a show with me for old time's sake. You won't?
No shot. He's talent now, and he won't let you forget it.
Well, I know, but for old time's sake.
He kept coming, man.
I can... We can do like a co-host thing.
Muscle gyration. He never stopped coming.
He never stopped coming. I said 888-710, so now it's 4-4-7-6, and we'll be back on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Wow. Shout out to a couple of people online. Ron said, yes, Bart, you're right. The second round of the NBA draft started at 4 o'clock last year. And then William sent me a tweet letting me know why. And I just I do not remember that these two things happened on the same day.
So what had nothing to do with the Elk Lodge booking?
No. It had everything to do with the draft had to be moved up because for some reason, before either candidate had actually gotten the official nomination, there was a presidential debate held that night.
No clue that happened.
It was that one where Joe had a rough evening. It was that one.
I can't believe that was a year ago.
The Joe Biden Donald Trump debate was a year ago on Friday.
NBA was right to get out of the way of that one.
Yeah. Yes, they were. And further commentary on that will be held until the sixth hour tonight. We're not going to get into that until hour number six tonight. Do you know who I need? I just need to bring him up. I need to bring him up. It's been too long. He's been in the news too much. I need to bring him up. And that is the big dumper. And I need to talk about the big dumper. We were on the air the other night, and Marco, during an update, was like, oh, the big dumper does it again. And I was like, what? Because I had not heard the nickname at all for Cal Raleigh, who tonight was 0-for-4. He's the catcher for the Mariners. He's hitting .227, but he is like leading the league in home runs. So what's the latest here? Cal Raleigh has become the first switch hitter ever with at least 30 home runs before the All-Star break. He is the fastest to 30 home runs in a season since Barry Bonds and Luis Gonzalez in 2001. He's joining Ken Griffey Jr. as the only Mariner player to hit 30-plus bombs before the All-Star break. So what he is doing and the pace that he's on, I don't think he's had one this week. He's at 32, Judge is at 28, and Shohei is at 27. His last home run was Monday, and that was his fourth straight game with a home run. He hit a homer in every game against the Cubs in that series.
Yeah, he killed him.
He had four home runs. Man, when we went to Chicago last Thursday for Chicago and Milwaukee, the Brewers and Cubs, and I wanted so bad, because the White Sox had a doubleheader that day, I wanted so bad to go across town and get into that one. And then we didn't do that. But then the next morning, our train was leaving a little later. We took the train down, and they had a Friday game. And there were like Mariners fans in our hotel, Brewers fans leaving, Mariners fans coming in. I'm like, I want to go to that game now. Wrigley is, I love it. I love it. I love Wrigley. I told you that when we went, it's like, this place rules.
Wrigley does rock.
It's like the one place I feel like I'm actually stepping into my TV. And when I go to Brewers Cubs games at Wrigley, remember earlier tonight I was talking about how in a any baseball stadium, if you're in like the first three levels, it's a completely different world than whatever the hell goes on that top level. It's completely different. Well, Brewers fans will know this. When we go to Wrigley, it is the most pleasurable experience. Everyone is so friendly and nice. We're all there to watch baseball. But when Cubs fans come up to Milwaukee to watch a game, they act like they're at a house party in college, you know, where you probably break something on purpose, or when you use the restroom, you just do target practice all over the place. You're going to walk out of there stealing something. Can I tell you a story about me stealing something at somebody's house?
Please. In fact, you're burying the lead. You should have already told me a story.
So we had this New Year's Eve party way prior to me being married on the day. But we had this New Year's Eve party, and the guy's last name was Core, C-O-R-E. And so his parents, as one would do, they collected a lot of like apple core decorations and had them around the house. I stole all of them.
What?
There were like 10 of them. And I stole all of them. And that's how the party got busted. Because he cleaned up perfectly, but he didn't notice that the decorations were gone. And then so I returned them, got him in trouble. He was very mad. And then he goes, you know, I hate to ask, but there's no way it's not you. My parents had two rolls of quarters on their bedroom desk. Were those by do you have those also by chance? And I'm like, if you can just let me know a time they won't be home, I'll come and drop them off and put them in your mailbox.
You stole quarters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How old were you?
Nineteen.
What'd you have to do, laundry? What the hell were you taking the quarters for?
I did have to do laundry, yes. Oh, that is right. Why.
Well, then, you know what? Fair enough.
That is why. So, obviously, I drank underage. I apologize.
Yeah, who didn't?
Well, who didn't? I didn't.
Lame. I've been drinking since I was 16.
I didn't drink any alcohol until I was 18. Oh, I had one beer in Germany. I went, or like even like a sip of beer. And then one time I thought my mom's wine was Kool-Aid. You know, I did that old trick. So I didn't drink in high school. I had like some pact with my parents, you know, and then I was an athlete, believe it or not. And I didn't want to get busted for, even if you were at a party, you could get suspended or miss games just for being there. So I didn't want to do any of that. But then I came back for the New Year's party in my hometown, and now I'm a big college drinker, you know, and I needed to bring some alcohol to the party, and I was never into the fake ID thing. I never wanted a fake. I never wanted to deal with that.
Same, yeah.
I just didn't want to mess with it. So other people obviously could buy for me. I didn't care about that. But then I asked my dad. I said, Dad, I'm going to this party. Can you buy me some booze? And he would not do it. I said, Dad, I'm going to get it somehow anyway. This is just the easiest way. Just buy me a bottle of cherry UV vodka. Just, I need some booze. He wouldn't do it. So now I wonder if I'll do the same for my kid. You know what? Dad corner, quick, not long. Marco, what would you do in that situation?
I would probably not.
I think I would not.
And I think it's partly because I don't want to be responsible for whoever else is going to drink it. And on top of it, if something were to really go wrong, not that there would, but yeah, I don't want that hanging over my head either.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I get it now. Oh, there it is. It's crazy the amount of things that you understand once you're actually in the shoes that your parents were in. Who knew?
Yeah. There's a lot of things, though, where you say, like, looking back, I can't imagine you want your kids stealing quarters from their friends' houses. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't see that being something you want to do. I definitely don't want my children to start drinking as early as I did. Not that I'm, and I don't drink now, so it's kind of funny how that worked out.
I'm going to bring up a story here. I'm going to bring it up. So there's one kid we really, really like, and he's friends with my son. But if he says he doesn't like something, then my son will automatically not like something.
Yeah.
And right now, one of the nice and best things we do is we have the 30 MLB helmets in front of our TV, lined up on the thing where you put your TV, and we arrange them by however the standings change every day. And that's like he wakes me up. He says, I want to see the scores. I want to see the standings. It's very fun.
Yeah.
But then a friend came over and said, what is this? And he goes, this is the standings. And he says, well, I want to arrange it like this now. And then he said, okay. And then I came back and the standings were a mess. They were in like pods, these helmets. I said, can we get them back to the standings? No, I don't like standings anymore, Daddy. And I was like, I don't care how long this is going to take or what I have to do. We are lining up those standings again, and you are going to like them again, sir. So the standings are back. We do it every day.
There you go. Force your will onto your children. That's a good way to go about it. Yeah.
Kid's a follower, man. He is a follower.
Well, then you make sure you lead.
Oh, wow. 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 I'm going to tell my wife that one.
Someone's got to be alpha. Might as well be you.
Yeah, damn right. You want him following, Johnny Snotnose from down the street, or you want him following you?
No, because at swimming tonight, he's in a lane with, like, his best friend and then some girl from the other school. And they all, like, get along. But every week, you can buy two candies for a quarter. So they buy candies out of this jar. And he always wants to make sure he gets the exact same as his best buddy and then eats it in the same order. Okay. Well, he wasn't there tonight because they're on vacation, so then it's just this other girl, and he was waiting for her to get done. He was waiting for her dad to finish, braiding and doing her hair, and then he was waiting for her to pick out the candy, and I was texting my wife, and she's like, who even is this? I go, it doesn't matter. A parasite will always find a new host, and that's how my kid is. Sucks.
It's rough.
Well, he follows you lead. That's a good one.
Well, I mean, again, you want him following random people and that kid that you hate? You really want that? I think it should be you. I don't think that's the best he's going to get, but I think that's the best he's going to get. So, yeah, might want to follow you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's just a little quickie one. Just a little quickie. That's Dad Corner. Dad Corner. Marco, thank you, as always, for being there for me.
I'm good at quickies.
Thank you for that one.
And with that, here is an update from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. Wrapping up our third show of the week. Pat Boyle coming up next. How long does it take to turn a motor speedway into a baseball stadium? There's a game on August 2nd between the Braves and the Reds that will be played at Bristol Motor Speedway in Tennessee. Construction on this has already begun. Work includes a temporary removal of some infield structures, the installation of nearly 18,000 tons of gravel to level off the infield, another 340 tons of clay to serve as a base for the synthetic playing surface, similar to the one used in Toronto, as well as additional lighting. So it's the 22nd. We're getting into the 22nd of June here. The game is August 2nd. And they're preparing for it now. I mean, you can't just slap down a Major League Baseball stadium. I love that they're doing this. I hope that people get into it. I got pretty mad, though, when I saw it. I go, oh, God. Baseball, oh, God. It's a game on August 2nd, and it's at a really cool venue. And I just know there's going to be a bunch of games going on at the same time, and we won't all be able to watch it because baseball can't schedule that. It's the only game on. It's a Saturday night. It's on Fox. It's the only game on at the time. There's games in the day. You know, maybe it bleeds over. There's games after, you know, 9 o'clock at night, whatever, later. But we got a game here. We got a game 7:15 Eastern. August 2nd should be a good time. NFL, boy, NBA draft was a good time. And that leads us to tonight's WTF.
You don't have to go home, but we have to get the heck out of here.
Oh! Shut it down! Oh, no! Let's go home!
Here's tonight's Winkler's thrilling factoid.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Your nightly WTF.
What did you say?
Wait. WTF? What the?
Oh, my God. Hey.
Only on the Bart Winkler Show.
Well, it's one thing for Greg to be a drop, but he's made it into imaging. That is fascinating.
A dream fulfilled.
Yes. Cooper Flagg was drafted by the Mavericks. Con Knipple was drafted by the Hornets. Both of them went to Duke. Dylan Harper was drafted by the Spurs at number 2. Ace Bailey, 5, to the Jazz. Both of them went to Rutgers. It's happened, actually, maybe more times than you think, where teammates have been drafted in the top 5 together. And typically, when they do that, they've had really good success in the NCAA tournament. I'll run through them for you. 1969, Kareem and Lucius Allen, UCLA, national champions. 1979, Magic Johnson, Greg Kessler, national champions, Michigan State. 1984, Jordan, Sam Perkins, Sweet 16, North Carolina. Jerry Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace in 95, North Carolina, Final Four. 98, North Carolina, Antoine Jameson, Vince Carter, Final Four. 2002, Duke, Jay Williams, Mike Dunleavy, Sweet 16. 2004, Emeka Okafor, Ben Gordon, UConn, national champion. 2005, Marvin Williams, Raymond Felton, North Carolina, national champion. 2007, Greg Oden, Mike Conley, Ohio State, runner-up. 2008, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Love, UCLA, Final Four. 2010, Elite Eight for Kentucky. They had John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. 2012, Kentucky, national champion, had Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist go top two. 2013, Indiana made it to the Sweet 16, the year that Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller both went top five. 2014, Kansas did lose in the round of 32, Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid, top five. 2019, the last time it happened, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, they went to the Elite Eight. So this year, you had Cooper Flagg and Con Knipple, who played for a Duke team that I don't remember how far they went. Elite Eight? Were they Elite Eight? Final Four. Look at me. I'm an idiot. And then the other two, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, Rutgers, they went 15 and 17. And just won one game in the Big Ten tournament. So one of these things is not like the other. And that is your WTF of the night. And I want to leave you here with the actual quote. I don't have the audio, but many writers have confirmed it, of what Nico Harrison said. Did you see what Nico said yet, Carlos?
Yeah, I actually do have the audio, but run it up against it. I'll play it tomorrow for Bullets and Blitz.
How long is the audio?
Well, here's a couple of quotes here, but more than 25 seconds.
Hit it.
Oh, God, which one?
All right, I'll just say it. Okay. Sorry, I should have asked you.
Yeah,
prior.
We have 5 cuts from him.
Yeah, geez, this... Instead, I talked about stealing stuff. What am I doing? You got to tell me we have those cuts.
Yeah, wasn't paying attention.
Nico Harrison on winning the draft lottery. I was extremely surprised. All my draft prep up to that point was us being in the 11th position. But things happen. Fortune favors the bold. So exciting things fell our way. Is that not insane?
I hate him.
The gall. Fortune favors the bold. No, you got rewarded for bad behavior. Thanks to Marco, Carlos, Pat Boyle up next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.